Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Got a girl from the south side, got brazen hair. First time I've seen a
good walk-by. Morning, 809 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and we've been talking about amendments, and I earlier talked about amendment number one. Let's talk about amendment number two. This is actually really an interesting one from a policy perspective point of view. By the way, we'll podcast the amendments all by themselves so that, you know, you can share those, or if I can get my lazy butt to do it, I will actually resuscitate the local area elections Facebook page that I created a couple of years ago and I've let languish for years and years. Anyway, amendment number one was about partisan school board elections. Amendment number two is about the right to hunt and fish. Now, here's the thing. My analysis of amendments always starts with this. You should always vote no on an amendment. Always vote no on an amendment unless you're really, really, really sure it's a very good thing and unless it can't be done by the legislature. Those are the two key triggers. If the legislature can't do it on its own, and if it's a real, like, you're really sure it's a good thing. So if you're uncertain about whether it's good, or if the legislature can do it without a constitutional amendment, then you don't need to vote for it. And because they're so hard to undo. And, you know, once they get put into place, it's so hard to undo an amendment that you don't want to tinker with the Constitution unless you have to. And it's, frankly, it's better if you can just have the legislature represent us and do what they do, which is, you know, make laws that represent us. Okay, so amendment number two is the right to hunt and fish. The ballot measure would provide a state constitutional right to hunt and fish and declare that, in fact, I'll just read it for you. Let's see, where's the actual ballot language? Proposing an amendment to the state constitution to preserve forever fishing and hunting, including by the use of traditional methods, as a public right and preferred means of responsibly managing and controlling fish and wildlife. Specifies that the amendment does not limit the authority granted to the Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission under Section 9 of Article 4 of the state constitution. Okay, so what would this actually do? Well, I mean, you heard it. It creates a Florida state constitutional right to hunt and fish by the traditional methods, whatever that is. Is dynamite a traditional method? I don't know. It doesn't seem like it, but, you know, you would figure line fishing is included. What about gill nets? That's a question, okay? So first thing is, could the legislature do most of this stuff? Well, it can't create a constitutional right without the people ratifying it, so I see that. What about that other part, though, about fishing and hunting as the preferred means for responsibly managing and controlling fish and wildlife? Well, this is part of the issue with this particular one. You have 23 states that have constitutional provisions protecting the right to hunt and fish. So not quite half of all the states. Obviously, hunting and fishing is pretty important here in the state of Florida. This is an interesting one. What year did the first state protect the right to hunt and fish in the United States? John, you want to take a stab at this? It was Vermont. What year do you think Vermont instituted the right to hunt and fish?
1812?
Real close. Good guess. 1777. So, like, right after the Constitution was ratified. 22 additional states following started in Alabama in 1996. The most recent one was Utah in 2020. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Approved by 75%. If all this did was say that you have the right to hunt and fish and no law can restrict that right, I would be much more open to it because there is something about that that seems very right. However, even that, so by, like, this totally vague phrase of by the traditional means, what is that? Traditional methods. What is the traditional methods? You know, a reasonable person might think, well, that includes, you know, gun, bow, hunting, or hook, line, net, fishing. But again, gill nets, does that include hunting bears? You know, right? It's very sweeping, and it says that the public right and preferred means of responsibly managing and controlling fishing life, that you preserve forever fishing and hunting, including by the use of traditional methods. And it would seem to say that you can't restrict those or that any restrictions on those would be a problem. What if, and again, here for conservation, you're trying to, you go on somebody else's property to hunt. Is that prohibited or allowed under this amendment? Well, right now you can't go on somebody else's property to hunt. What if you're going on somebody else's property as a form of managing the wildlife population? You see what I'm getting at? I think a lot of the things in this amendment are very open to question. In fact, one of the strongest arguments against this amendment is that it's extremely vague and might upend a lot of things that you don't want upended. Also, there's a theory about this amendment that it's the kind of thing that is just there to get people worked up about hunting and fishing and going to vote. It's trying to generate redneck turnout, is kind of the argument, presumably for Trump. Okay? That's one of the arguments against. So let's talk about some of the arguments. Actually, let's take a quick break. We'll come back to this in a second. 437-1620. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
No accidents to let you know about, but if you're on Highway 90 heading from downtown Milton into Pace, you're going to see some delays before you get to the Avalon right there at PJC, seeing some delays. Other than that, traffic is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. So in favor of it is all the, you know, Florida, the airboat, sportsmen, hunters, all of that kind of stuff. Not that surprising. House Speaker Paul Renner, this amendment will permanently preserve Floridians' right to fish and hunt. For generations, Floridians have used fishing and hunting as a means to provide for themselves and their families. State Senator Jim Boyd, it's really hard to believe there are states that are outlawing fishing and hunting. Florida will not be one of those states. Vote yes on Amendment 2. Amendment 2 definitively protects our right to fish and hunt in the state of Florida. While bans were considered in at least a dozen states last year, including a push to criminalize hunting, fishing, and farming, Amendment 2 will prevent extremists from taking away our rights. Okay, that's the fear, right? That somebody would come in and try to restrict the right to hunt and fish in the state of Florida. This would constitutionally protect against that encroachment or that infringement. What's my question number two? Question number one is are you really, really, really sure it's a good thing? Question number two is, can the legislature do it? Okay. Are you worried in the current environment that the state legislature of Florida is going to significantly or meaningfully encroach on your hunting and fishing rights? With a 75% supermajority by the Republicans, not quite that high in the Senate, but close, I'm not worried about this. So it's solving a not real problem in the state of Florida, is my opinion. Okay. It might be a problem elsewhere. Okay. It might be where the people need to push back. But can it be done by the legislature? Well, again, if you elect good legislators, then you don't have to worry about this. Do you need to preserve this right in the Constitution? Which I totally support the right. That's not the issue. It's a lot of the other stuff that's built into the amendment. Humane Wildlife Consulting of South Florida says, this is con, okay, against. We are in the midst of a global extinction crisis and climate crisis. Our wildlife needs a break from the carnage. We should be accelerating measures to alleviate the harm being done and mitigate the damage, which includes taking proactive measures to eliminate as best we can the unnecessary trapping and senseless killing of our wildlife and to incentivize non-lethal control measures. Yeah, I'm not such a believer in the, you know, extinction level event that's going on with our wildlife. It sounds a little bit, you know, Greenpeace-y Sierra Club to me, but that is one of the cons, okay? If you're a conservationist or a preserver, you might think this is a problem because it would allow too much hunting or fishing. Speak Up Wakiva, which I've never heard of them, but I actually thought they made the most interesting argument against. The right to hunt and fish already exists in Florida statute. The NRA and its political operatives are trying to convince Floridians that hunting and fishing are in jeopardy. They're not currently. But if Amendment 2 passes, it will make fishing a public right. That's a quote. Opening up our waters to massive foreign commercial fishing vessels because a public right is not restricted to just Florida citizens. Laws are necessary to restrict bad actors from depleting our oceans of fish and our forests of native wildlife. Do you really want to give hunters the right to walk onto your property in pursuit of a raccoon or a bear? This amendment will lead to hunters trespassing on private property, emboldened with their new constitutional right, as they have done in other states, and they have passed similar amendments. Clay Henderson, who is an author, says, the language in the original NRA proposal states this section shall not be construed to modify any provision of law relating to trespass or property rights. That's not in this version. So that would have been good because that would have protected private property owners and their ability to say no to hunting and fishing on their land. The Florida legislature didn't include that important restriction. The biggest concern for me and other mainstream conservationists is that the amendment proclaims hunting and fishing the, quote, preferred means of responsibly managing and controlling fish and wildlife, end quote. Really? Often the preferred means to conserve fish and wildlife is to limit hunting and fishing to protect their numbers. That's why we have limits on the size of fish that can be taken in seasons for hunting. These are reasonable rules to protect numbers of fish and game. Populations of grouper, red snapper, and redfish have been severely regulated as their numbers have declined. Allowing more fishing will not increase their numbers. Says many of us think this is just a backdoor to bring back bear hunting. That's why another section of the proposal is scary. It proclaims the right to hunt and fish includes the use of traditional methods should be preserved forever. What does that mean? To me, it clearly means return to steel jaw traps, spears, spear fishing, gill nets, and other inhumane means of hunting and fishing. I also thought the opposition opinion piece in the Orlando Sentinel was quite good. This amendment could have a significant impact on the state's ability to manage public lands against wildfires and flooding. Some analysts have suggested the amendment could even trump the rights of private property owners to restrict hunting on their own land. Mentioned that already. That's why this amendment seems scary. Nobody can say exactly what it could do or how much harm it could cause. Meanwhile, the only arguments in its favor seem to rest on the fallacy that hunting and fishing in Florida are under attack. So what's the point of putting it on the ballot? The best argument we can see is that this stinker is at its bait. It's intended to draw low-information, far-right voters who can easily be swindled into believing their rights are somehow under attack or who will presumably be voting conservative across the rest of the ballot. I think same. I definitely want to protect fishing and hunting. I think this goes too far. I think it overstates the value of fishing and hunting as conservation tools, talking about them as the primary. They are good conservation tools. They are not the only conservation tool. It doesn't have protections in it that I would like to see. And so even if I were somewhat in favor of it, even if I were 55 or 60% for it, I have to get to 75% before I vote yes, because you shouldn't put things in the Constitution that you're not sure about. And I am at best unsure about this. So I'm a no vote. I'm probably about a 30% yes on this one, because I do like the part about protecting the right to hunt and fish as a declaration. The problem is in the particulars, what that means for other things, balancing that against other rights. And again, I think the legislature can handle this and it does not need to be in the Constitution. Plus, it's an uncertain. 4-3-7-16-20. So I'm for Amendment 1, partisan school board elections, and I'm opposed to Amendment number 2. Let's see. Quick notes here from texters. Just like Amendment 4, when the terms are undefined, it's a no. Steel traps were once considered traditional. Regarding hunting, Gulf Breeze had someone killing pigeons with darts a week ago. Would that be considered traditional? Someone says, I hunt and fish. This is unnecessary. It's never been an issue. Somebody says, that sounds far-fetched about states banning hunting or fishing. Somebody says, let's see, I hunt, but I do believe that we should support the right to hunt and fish. I also believe there is the end times coming. I just don't know when, and governments will do anything and everything they can to protect prevent people from providing for their families. Somebody says, agree, I believe the amendment goes way too far, and I am a hunter and a fisherman. Oh, okay, so people largely on my side on this one. Cool. Like to I didn't know what people would say, and so it's always nice, especially in an area like Northwest Florida. We're so conservative and so pro-hunting and fishing. 822 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about making a career change, maybe getting a different degree or a first degree, an associate's degree or anything else, and you're, you know, wanting to learn about physics or astronomy or history or, you know, whatever, theater, you want to take an acting class or a dance class. I mean, community colleges, we used to call them. Now they're called state colleges or junior colleges, they used to call them too. They're a great resource for all kinds of things. They have all kinds of programs at PSC, depending on your level of interest and where you are in your kind of educational path. Now, for my family, we've used PSC for a dual enrollment. You know, my kids went to high school, homeschooled, and they went to dual enrollment at PSC and got a year and a half worth of college credit when they went to UWF. That meant that they didn't have to take those classes at UWF. They got kind of, you know, feet wet kind of exposure to in the classroom learning at PSC, and great instructors, easy to work with. Just the whole thing is fantastic. So my family has benefited tremendously from PSC. Plus, they have a great disc golf course. Several. Pensacola Campus, Warrington, Milton Century, South Santa Rosa Center, Downtown Pensacola, and Santa Rosa Industrial Park East. Find out what PSC can do to help you reach your future goals at pensacolastate.edu.
With 0% financing on one of Volkswagen's most popular SUV crossovers, there's no better time to drive the VW Tiguan from Pete Bohr Imports. Get 0% APR for a full 60 months, plus an additional $500 of VW loyalty cash. And you'll be driving the 2024 Tiguan S for as low as $28,999. But if you'd rather forego the 0% APR, then take advantage of an additional discount for a low price of $27,499. And the 2025 Jetta S, Volkswagen's top-selling four-door sedan, is now available from a low $22,995. This month, the numbers are adding up to bigger savings from Pete Bohr Imports. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Pete Bohr Imports, 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Special APR rate for qualified credit to BCI. Sale price before tag, tax, title, and dealer fees. Royalty discounts for qualified VW owners. See dealer for details. Offer expires October 31st, 2024.
For some of us, it's way more than just hunting. Hunting is one of the best things in life, and Jim's Firearms is proud to be a part of it. Let the team at Jim's Firearms help you prepare for a successful hunting season. With a large selection of shotguns and rifles, you're sure to find one to meet your shooting needs. Jim's Firearms, West Pensacola, corner of Blue Angel and Sorrento Road.
The Pensacola Interstate Fair starts this Thursday for 11 big days with Dollar Day. $1 admission and rides. Free shows by Neil McCoy, Aaron Tippin, Chris Jansen, Easton Corbin, Tristan Harper, Twitty and Lynn, Bluffett, a Jimmy Buffett tribute, and White Tie Rock Ensemble. Over 50 giant rides, Midnight Madness, the Sea Lion Splash Show, Livestock Auction, and dozens of free exhibits. Check out daily specials. Get half-price admission tickets and $5 off-ride wristbands in advance only at PensacolaFair.com.
The Florida Department of Health in Escambia County works to protect, promote, and improve the health of everyone in your community. Listen in today at 10:30 to the Pensacola Expert Panel when Director Marie Mott will give a public health update. That's today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before pep talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
The vast majority of people misquote it. It's not a failure to communicate, it's just failure to communicate. And it's not what we have here, what we've got here. Not that either of those changes the meaning. 826 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, very, very picky. I'm Andrew McKay. Tom Pickens, speaking of picky, has traffic on the fives.
What?
It's your name.
Oh, okay. Is that from the Smoking the Bandit movie?
Oh, no, that's from Cool Hand Luke.
Okay.
Nobody can eat 50 eggs.
All right, we're seeing some slowdowns on Highway 90 between Stewart Street and Avalon. If you're headed in the westbound direction, you're going to see some congestion delays there. I-10, I-110 looking good right now. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. If you're in the market for that next vehicle, Frontier Motors is a great selection of good quality used cars, trucks, vans, SUVs, Jeeps, sports cars, you know, all kinds of stuff. And you can go there and, you know, try several different ones, decide what you like. And then if they have what you want, I mean, obviously you can get it because they have good cars that are going to last you a while. They warranty them to 100,000 miles. They got, you know, maybe 10 to 50 or 60,000 miles on them, you know, 1, 2, 3 years young in good condition. That's what they specialize in, cars you can trust and drive for a long time. But if they don't have exactly what you want, send them looking. They go buy cars all the time. Okay, they go buy to auctions like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. They're buying cars at auction. They're buying cars from people who come in and sell them cars. You know, they'll buy your car if you've got a good quality car. So Frontier Motors is a great selection of cars, and they can kind of act as your shopper's agent, so to speak, for you when you're in that market for that next car. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Former President Trump will be in Chicago today. He'll be taking part in a Bloomberg News interview co-hosted by the Economic Club of Chicago. Vice President Kamala Harris, meanwhile, sitting down for an interview today with the Breakfast Club host Charlemagne, the God, as part of an effort to get more black voters out to the polls. Dozens of people facing charges after being arrested during a pro-Palestinian demonstration in New York outside of the New York Stock Exchange. The protest was organized by the group Jewish Voice for Peace. It attracted several hundred people and about 200 arrests were made. And Google ordering as many as 7 nuclear reactors, Andrew. Apparently they're going to use these to power their artificial intelligence data centers. Google says they believe this will help them reach their 24/7 carbon-free energy and net zero goals.
I don't mind the nuclear reactors. I just wish they weren't going to the AI.
Right.
You know, I definitely think that we ought to be building more nuclear reactors, especially the smaller ones. I mean, you know, the Navy's been running nuclear reactors for decades without incident. It can be done. It's a very good source of power. I just don't want to power Skynet with it. That's my view.
Sounds like Skynet won't be running out of power.
Oh, my God. Well, thank goodness for that. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620. Oh, you know, we haven't talked about it all today, and I feel bad that I have not told you this in case you hadn't been paying attention. Weather tomorrow morning might be pants. Now, it's... I don't want to scare you. At 7 a.m. tomorrow, it's supposed to be 53 degrees here in Pensacola. At 7 a.m. tomorrow. Now, I don't go pants until you're below 50. I will wear a sweatshirt, you know, and shorts and flips, maybe. But my feet get cold, so maybe I wear sneakers. But anyway, so 52 tomorrow, and then the following day, 48. So cold. Don't worry, then. It's going to get back up to 80 the rest of the week. But those are your lows tomorrow morning and then Thursday morning. So don't say I didn't tell you so. So you're up and getting ready for work, and you're, you know, if you're like me and you're wearing shorts every day, just be prepared.
The fair starts Thursday, so we always have a cold snap during the fair.
Always a cold snap for the fair. That's 100% of the time. That's how you know. That's actually how you know the fair is coming, is when it gets cold.
Exactly.
They don't need to tell you the date. Just, it's when it's cold. That's how we do that. Frivolous topic coming up next. We'll be back in just a minute.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. The new Fox News power rankings show an even tighter race, calling Michigan a toss-up now instead of leaning toward Vice President Harris. She and former President Trump both had packed rallies in Pennsylvania, Harris in Erie.
We are the underdog. We are running like the underdog. We have some hard work ahead of us, but here's the thing also. We like hard work.
She says former President Trump is increasingly unstable and unhinged. He says she's the worst vice president in history and Joe Biden's the worst president.
And he's actually, I didn't think I'd ever say this about anybody, she's actually, you take a look at, she's more dangerous than him, but he's actually smarter than her. I never thought I'd say that.
Trump there in Oaks, Pennsylvania. He has events in Chicago and Atlanta today. Harris is in Detroit. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. It is cloudy right now and 65 degrees.
So David is having a little bit of mic issue. Hit it real good. All right, try turning it on again. Let's see what we got. Is it on?
Hello?
No, we can't hear you. All right, well, we'll figure something else out. Can we play the Fox Nationals? Are they still going? Do we have that to go? I don't know, man. David has completely lost his mic. So, you know, he's trying to figure it out over there. It's been given. You thought you solved the problems because the computer has been giving you issues all morning, and now all of a sudden you don't have a microphone. Oh, that's fantastic. All right, 8:32 here on News Radio 92.3. We're going to continue other programming, I suppose, is how this is going to work. Sorry, I would love to be able to give you, you know, your regular newscast, but unfortunately not. 437-1620, 437-1620. FEMA has paused aid in North Carolina amid an armed militia threat. This is crazy. This is unbelievable that people were reportedly driving around looking for FEMA people to kill. And so they're, you know, they're operating out of their bases and at stations where people come to them instead of being able to go door-to-door, which is a normal operation. This is the byproduct of misinformation.
Test.
Hey, there we go, David. You're on. I can hear you. You ready to try again?
It worked now.
Hey,
what do
look
you
at
know?
That. I told him one story about FEMA on the fly.
Well,
go ahead,
wonderful.
Sir. It's back
Thank
to you.
Thank you so much, Andrew. I appreciate that. Yeah, so where was I at here? It is 8:33 now at News Radio 92.3. We've got 65 and cloudy skies this morning. Two Navarre residents have passed away after a head-on motorcycle crash in Bay County. This happened on Sunday on State Road 20. FHP says the Navarre residents, a 46-year-old man and a 52-year-old woman, were headed west on their motorcycle when a pickup truck driven by a Milton man crossed the center line as he was going around a curve and crashed into them head-on. Both riders were thrown from their bike onto the road. The pickup then ran off the road and into the tree line. Both riders died. The pickup driver also had minor injuries from his crash. An Escambia County Jail inmate may be facing charges for the beating death of a fellow inmate. That happened earlier this month at the jail's infirmary. Officials say 36-year-old Jorge Velasquez beat 42-year-old Kevin Johnson, who later died from his injuries. Velasquez had originally been charged with aggravated battery. That case now being reviewed by the state attorney's office. An Escambia County woman facing charges. This is after allegedly getting angry and chasing children with a knife at a birthday party. And deputies say this happened at a party on Irene Lane in the Cantonment area Sunday night. 44-year-old Lisa Bryant allegedly was chasing people with a knife, and a 17-year-old was cut during this incident. Bryant currently being held with no bond at the Escambia County Jail, and she's charged with aggravated assault with a weapon and cruelty to a child. And the Impact 100 organization announcing the groups that will be receiving grant funding from them this year. The grants are awarded in five categories: arts, culture and history, education, environment and recreation, family and health and wellness. Some of the organizations that are receiving funding include the UWF Historic Trust for the Pensacola Children's Museum exhibit Our Town, A Space for All, the Dixon School of Arts and Science for the Natural Wonders Park, the Society of St. Vincent de Paul, Vision of Hope. Each of these organizations will receive over $100,000 this year thanks to an increase in membership. It's 8:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
Well, that's right. No accidents to let you know about right now, but we are seeing some major congestion issues. If you're on Highway 90 going westbound between Stewart Street and Avalon, we're seeing some delays there. Other than that, everything else is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Plenty of sunshine today with a high near 79 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 56 degrees. For Wednesday, nice sunny skies, high near 68. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 50 degrees. Keeping the sunny and beautiful weather around on Thursday, high near 70 degrees, low near 57 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, 65 in Pensacola, 64 in Gulf Breeze, 59 in Milton. Your money now. This morning, our market's mixed. The Dow is down at the opening bell, 261 points at 42,803. The S&P is up 4 points at 58,63. The NASDAQ is up 39 points at 18,542. Our 10-year bond rate today is down just a bit at 4.04%. Gold prices up $1.60 at $26.67. Silver price is up a dime at $31.42, and Bitcoin is up $93 today at $66,058. Boeing trying to offset $33 billion in losses. They announced in a regulatory filing that they're planning to borrow $10 billion from a combination of banks. In a separate announcement, they also said they intend to sell off debt and stock in an effort to raise another $25 billion. Also, last week, they announced they'd be cutting 10% of their workforce around the world. Massachusetts has knocked New Jersey off its perch as the highest earning U.S. state. New census data giving Massachusetts the number one spot with close to $100,000 a year in median household income. And national hardware chain True Value filing for bankruptcy. The 75-year-old company selling off its operations to rival company Do It Best. But True Value does say they plan to continue day-to-day operations as they go through the Chapter 11 process. 8:38, your next news at 9, and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
If you're struggling with ED or your performance is down and your belly fat is growing, listen up. You've got one life. Now is the time to act.
At Wave Men's Health, we're not just healthcare. We're your secret weapon. Don't wait another day. Here's why you need to act right now.
Every moment you delay, your condition could worsen. It's not just about sex, it's about your heart, your relationship, your life.
Wave Men's Health has years of proven results for low testosterone and increasing drive, energy level, and performance. We've introduced ED and enhancement treatments so exclusive, you'll wonder why you waited.
Procrastination is the thief of time. When it comes to your sexual health, you can't afford to wait. Join the league of gentlemen who've walked out of our doors with a swagger.
Call Wave Men's Health at 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Book your $99 male performance consultation now, including blood work. Call 850-266-7020 or visit WaveMen'sHealth.com. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
Experience the captivating musical journey with Celtic Thunder in their brand new show, Odyssey. Join Damian McGinty, Emmett Cahill, Neil Byrne, and Ronan Scollard as they explore a fusion of traditional and contemporary Celtic music, a mix of great new songs and beloved fan favorites. In Odyssey, Celtic Thunder continues their musical evolution.
Get your tickets now for Celtic Thunder at the Sanger Theatre on October 23rd.
Bands on the Beach is presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority each Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. You're invited to bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. Coming up this Tuesday, it's String Farm, Pensacola's bluegrass house band, playing the greatest all-time hits of bluegrass from the stage and screen. We'll see you this Tuesday for Bands on the Beach at 7 with String Farm. Just remember, no pets or class allowed.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot!
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
All right, so it is International or Global Hand Washing Day, and so let's talk about hand washing. It's funny. I don't think we've ever actually talked about this. Maybe not. Maybe it's been a while. Anyway, so my question is very simple: how many times a day do you wash your hands? And by wash your hands, I don't mean hand sanitizer. That just keeps the dirt there. It's just sanitary dirt. It does not count. How many times do you run them underwater and use soap? Do you always use soap? 437-1620, 437-1620. If you want to talk about the when of it all, when do you wash your hands, I think is where this is going to be interesting. And is there a you don't normally wash your hands blank when everybody else does or when you think people do? So 437-1620. John, you're counting, right? You're thinking in your head how many times?
Yeah. I don't know.
Ballpark. I mean, this is going to be a ballpark thing, okay? How many times a day do you think you wash your hands?
How many times I go to the restroom?
Yeah,
I
don't know.
No.
50, 60?
Well, okay. I mean, seriously, I'm like thinking, going, I never really counted that.
Ballpark? Swinging wild a swag. Give me a guess.
40?
40?
30, 40?
Okay. So I'm thinking, same, thinking for me.
I'm a soaper, though, every time.
Every time a soap, yeah. Mm-hmm. If you need to rinse them, you need to soap them.
Just go ahead and do it.
Yeah, it doesn't take much extra effort. And what is it that water will do that soap, or what is it that you would need soap for? Get this sentence just right. What is on your hands that needs to be washed off that doesn't take soap? I mean, nothing. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm the same. Like if it, plus, you know how, maybe I'm weird about this, but I don't think I am. You know how you just kind of feel like your hands are dirty after a while? Or after doing certain things, it just kind of, it's something that you, I'm sure OCD people feel like their hands are dirty all the time. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying, you know when your hands feel clean and like mentally you haven't touched anything and done anything, but they just, in your brain, they're clean. You know, check. All good. You know? And then sometimes you're like, I don't know. Might as well clean them. Right? But I don't really go to the restroom just to clean my hands unless there's some reason. I'm not going because it's like 2:30 time to clean my hands. You know, it doesn't work like that. 437-1620. Now, there are certain situations where you clean them more frequently, like when you're cooking. I mean, you clean your hands a lot when you're cooking because, you know, you're into the chicken and you're into the fish and you're into the meat and you're into the vegetables and you're back over here touching the plates and you wash your hands a lot. Okay. And I will confess that when I'm washing, when I'm cooking, there are times when it is just water because all I need to do is rinse something off. It's not that's actually a case where, you know, there's no raw meat involved. There's no contaminant involved. It's just I got syrup on my finger. You know, you don't need soap to wash off the syrup when you're cooking. That's kind of what I'm thinking about. But generally speaking, in cooking, if you're cooking, you're probably washing your hands 10 or 15 times. Depends on what you're making. Right. I mean, mm-hmm. You're cooking pasta. You're probably not washing
them. You're making eggs.
But if you know, chicken. Eggs and chicken and stuff that's a mess and, you know, you're mixing things with your hands. Oh, yeah. You're washing them a million times. 437-1620, 437-1620. Other than that, of course, every time you go to the bathroom, frankly, and I know I'm probably weird about this, anytime you go into the bathroom, because you so powerfully associate going to the bathroom with, like, being dirty that, like, you know, I went into the bathroom to comb my hair. Time to wash my hands. You know, like, I went into the bathroom because in our house, like, the walk-in closets are kind of in the bathroom area. And, you know, I'm putting socks on. Time to wash my hands. Like, you just because you got near the bathroom. You know, there's that feeling like I got near the bathroom. My hands must be dirty. It's time to wash them. Okay, so a couple of texts coming in here. Somebody says probably 5 to 6 times a day. That seems light to me. Although I suppose there are some people who go to the bathroom like twice a day. I don't understand you people, but they're apparently out there. 5 to 6 times a day. Somebody says 10, unless I'm cleaning fish, in which case it's 1,000. bar or liquid soap. Oh, well, depends. I mean, it's liquid for your hands. It's bar for your body in the shower. I mean, that's easy. Don't get me started.
Body wash.
No, that's the stupidest thing that was ever invented. I hate body wash. It's the most frustrating thing. It's a product designed to sell you the product is all it is.
You just put it on the washcloth and boom, you've got
washcloth. We're on a whole different subject now. We've talked about this. I want to focus. Stay focused. Stay on target.
Sorry.
Come on. 4-3.
My ADD's kicking
16,
in.
20. I wash my hands 8 to 12 times a day before I eat, and because I'm in the medical field. That seems light, again, for somebody in the medical field. Seems light to me. Also, when you go to dirty places, like when you go to the doctor's office. Yeah. Or change a diaper. Not that I've done that in a long time, but, you know, or just generally touch a child. These children are filthy, right? I mean, they are. They're doorknob lickers, right? You get sick from the kids, right? Somebody here says 30 minimum. Must have running water and soap. My doctor, dad taught me everything. Everything you touch has cooties. That's true. That's correct. Now, I will say this. I do not typically wait for the hot water. I know they say hot water for 30 seconds or, you know, what?
I ain't got no time for that.
It takes a minute to get hot water to the faucet anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, cold water and liquid soap and, you know, thoroughly and then rinse. That's for me. Unless there's something particularly, again, typically it's meat or some kind of oil, like something that really needs work to get off, then that's different. But typically, who's got time to wait for all that? John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Still no accidents to let you know about, but we are dealing with some delays that are happening on Highway 90. If you're headed from East Milton into downtown Milton or on Avalon headed toward PJC on the westbound, you're going to see some delays there. And other than that, I-10 and I-110 flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, you want somebody who's going to give you outstanding real estate guidance and help, and that's a professional real estate person, right? And Christina Leavenworth has done this a lot. I often think about that. Like, experience really matters because you go to a mechanic and it's their fifth car, you know, or they do one a year. You go to a mechanic and it's their 1,000th car and they do 200 a year. I mean, you know. It's different. And the same thing for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty. You know, I need to ask her total number of homes sold. But I guess it's probably pushing around 1,000, okay? Because I know it was like, you know, 3 years ago it was plus 200, 175 last year. She's over 130 this year. So somewhere in that vicinity. So she knows how to get you all the way to the end result, all the way to closing, solving all the problems, navigating all the hurdles and, you know, bumps along the road and fixing whatever comes up. Also, experience teaches you what's normal. And so experience, like you've sold one house maybe in your life or, you know, not certainly 10 a year or anything like that. So you don't know what's normal. You don't know what the market's doing. They do. And so when somebody's trying to buy your house and they're like, that roof is too old, you need to replace it. And you're like, what? And a good real estate agent will be able to tell you, you know what? In Florida, that roof is too old. It's going to be hard to insure. They're not being unreasonable. You should split the cost with them or you should pay the cost yourself or whatever. But the point is, a good real estate agent will give you that. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty, 723-9158. Back to the conversation about hand washing and how many times a day you do it. I'm going to ballpark, I think 30 for me is probably, but that includes because I cook so many meals. Well, I mean, I cook the meals. And in cooking, it's probably 10 to 15 alone, you know, plus bathroom breaks, plus you ate something. And probably in that vicinity, I'm guessing, every day. Let's see. Somebody here says, too many times to count, 50 plus with antibacterial soap is all I buy. Somebody says, I work construction, and I know guys who do not wash their hands at all day long. And that includes trips to the... And, you know, on a construction site, that's not the indoor plumbing. I wash my hands at least 15 to 20 times a day while I'm working, they say. Lots every day, especially when I get home from being out and about. Somebody says probably around 20 or so, but I also make sure I use antibacterial soap. Yeah, I think I would say this. I feel comfortable saying this. Unless you're doing something that really necessitates it, like medical field or cooking, if you're over 40 times a day, that's probably there's an issue, okay? And if you're under 10 a day, that's also probably an issue. John, does that seem like about the right range? 10 to 40?
Yes, I would agree with that.
Is sort of the normal range. Up and down is probably something you need to talk to somebody. 850 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hi, I'm Mansfield Coe from Pensacola Hardware. We are your best local and regional resource for industrial construction and hardware supplies. Daily, we meet the needs of Pensacola's construction companies, providing superb knowledge and code-compliant products. We specialize in concrete and masonry tools, fall protection products, and tools and supplies for the HVAC, mechanical plumbing, electrical, and glass trades. Give us the opportunity to show you why we are Pensacola's oldest and best hardware and construction supply company. Pensacola Hardware, 20 East Gregory Street, downtown.
Are you a business owner? Do you love sports? I bet your audience does too. What if I told you I could help you reach your audience while they are at a sporting event? Hi, I'm Lexi with ADX Digital, and I can help you connect with your audience. Call 850-262-6000 and build a digital campaign with me today. ADX Digital is locally owned and part of the ADX Communications family, inclusive of Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN Pensacola 99.1, and Pensacola's Playlist 94.5.
DJU winds up looking for Ja'Kai down the field. He's got it. Touchdown.
The Florida State Seminoles travel to North Carolina this Friday night to take on the Duke Blue Devils in a primetime ACC matchup on the Seminole Sports Network.
FSU takes on Duke. Kickoff at 6 p.m. Friday on News Radio 92.3. Brought to you by Pensacola Hardware, All Season Service Network, A1 Auto Diesel Repair, DeFranco Gas, and Calvert's in the Heights.
Hello, my name is Ed Carson. Santa Rosa County is one of the fastest growing counties in the nation, and it's not slowing down. Our parks, roads, bridges, and other community amenities have to keep up. I'm urging you to vote yes for the penny sales tax to replace the current half cent tax. This will fund essential community improvements, enhance our quality of life, better protect our families, and improve public works. Please go to SantaRosaYes.com for more information.
Political advertisement paid for by Building Santa Rosa Tomorrow Today.
News Radio 92.3.
The winner of the prestigious Marconi Award Media Market Station of the Year from the National Association of Broadcasters.
Informative, local, dependable.
Star Wars. Kenner's new Star Wars Land Speeder. Action figures each sold separately.
The presidential election, you may have heard, is coming in 3 weeks. It'll all be over soon. Nothing will be over. Nothing is over. Because then we have 4 years of one or the other. And probably a lot of fighting even between now and January, right? Right, that's fantastic. But they do produce, I guess, moments. President Trump at a rally at this was over the weekend.
You know what woke means? You know what woke means? It means you're a loser. Everything woke. Everything woke. It's true. Everything woke turns to shit, okay? It's true.
I will say that, you know, the one thing you absolutely have to give President Trump credit for is he knows how to say things in a way that people cheer for. He has a flair for saying the thing that the people who agree with him don't just say yes, but say yeah too. And that's a great example. I mean, that will drive liberals crazy, but this expression captures the essence of the anti-woke movement.
It's true. Everything woke turns to sh**, okay? It's true.
And by the way, have you seen the... Oh, do we have time to talk about this now? I was kind of not thinking we would today, but have you seen what his new ad where he's using clips from Full Metal Jacket? Okay, so the movie Full Metal Jacket, Arlie Ermey and all the training scenes with Matthew Modine and all the, you know, the drill sergeant notion, the like sort of worst version of the stereotypical drill sergeant. And, you know, show me your war phase. Ah, I don't believe you. You know, that kind of stuff. And then he's saying, this is the military under President Trump. And then this is the military under what he calls Comrade Kamala. Okay. And it shows a drag queen military dancing around. Or the, you know, transgender Surgeon General or whoever it was, and Surgeon General, you know, I forget the person who's in the office. And it's back and forth from, you know, Full Metal Jacket, rah, rah, Merca, to transgender drag queens parading around at, you know, on ship or at the Army base. You know, that's kind of the premise of it. And it's that same concept, right? Is you're destroying the military with this stuff. Now, there's this whole side conversation about this that has to do with the nature of Full Metal Jacket itself as a movie. We'll get to that in just a second. John Pickens got traffic on the fives. John?
No accidents or backups to let you know about. Traffic is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. So what Matthew Modine, as an actor in Full Metal Jacket, says is, does he not understand that it's an anti-war movie? Oh, and it is. It's an anti-war movie. It's complicated, but it's mostly an anti-war. I mean, Oliver Stone is basically against everything he does. I mean, Wall Street is not pro-greed, pretty much every movie that he's ever made is meant to be a critique of the things that he's showing, and it's, you know, and Full Metal Jacket is very much an anti-war movie. The funny thing about anti-war movies is that people who like guns in the military watch these movies and like, yeah! So it always backfires, you know, this is my rifle, this is my gun, hoorah! You know, like, that's not what that's meant to be, but, you know, criticism doesn't always end up landing the way they think it's going to land. Anyway, so the criticism has been that Trump is too dumb to understand that this movie is actually a war critique. Well, the daughter of Stanley Kubrick has now... Or sorry, did I see... It's Kubrick. It's not Oliver Stone. I'm sorry. I'm getting my people confused here. Same basic comments apply, by the way. But Stanley Kubrick's movie film... Oliver Stone did Platoon. Anyway, so his daughter has actually written a post all about this, Vivian Kubrick. She says, because I'm sure the irony of using Full Metal Jacket footage is not lost on Trump or his team, Trump is always seeking to end wars and use peaceful methods, deterrence. However, that's primarily what Full Metal Jacket is about, the shocking and complicated paradoxes of human nature. And thus, on this tooth and claw planet, you need a very strong military. So I'm going to stick with the idea that the Full Metal Jacket footage was used primarily because of its powerful, realistic portrayal of boot camp. I don't know about realistic. Juxtaposed with the entirely demoralizing and inappropriate injection of woke ideology into the U.S. military, which I agree with myself and which I'm certain my father would have agreed with. Truthfully, I believe my father, who supported Reagan, would very much approve of saving America, indeed the world, from the highly destructive globalist forces threatening to take over the planet. And if this footage from Full Metal Jacket helps Trump make the point that the U.S. military needs properly trained, super tough, focused, dedicated warriors and not introduce the demoralizing effects of wokeism and attracting people to join up simply to have their sexual reassignments paid for, then Trump has my blessing. Finally, knowing my father very well, I can assure you that he had a profound grasp of how paradoxical human nature is, which accounts for how at the same time he made anti-war films, he had a great passion for gun self-defense, not hunting, and had quite a few. My father had a great respect for life, his movies being unimpeachable evidence of his love for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So on that basis, I feel very confident he would be a Trump supporter and would forgive using Full Metal Jacket incongruously if it helps the cause of freedom. Capiche? So it's to me, it's a great example of how, and I have been guilty of this myself, sometimes in criticizing Trump, you criticize the superficial or the presentation instead of thinking about the real message. And yes, using Full Metal Jacket as evidence of a strong military is a bit of a misfire, conceptually and thematically, but who cares? The message works. The idea of a strong military with very difficult drill instructors who put you through boot camp and break you down and teach you how to shoot straight and kill people, that's what you want in the military. And when he's interspersing that with this other extreme of what some slices of the military have become and allow, he's making a point that a lot of people take seriously.